I'm Toby, and I'm known for a lot of stuff, and most of it isn't good. If you ask anybody from my past, what is strange to me about this whole thing, right? I've known I had to do this for about a month, and I've been writing, and I've been preparing, and I've been reading my Bible, and I've been writing. And God's been telling me stuff to write down. And then the last thing he told me to write down was like when he sent the disciples out, right? Because there are no more disciples except for us, you know. So I'm now a disciple of God. And he told me to come here with absolutely nothing, with just what I'm wearing. You know, like he told the disciples. He said, go to that town, say what you got to say, show them my word and my love. And if they don't like it, kick rocks, dust the feet off. You don't want to bring none of them with you. So I'm here, totally naked under these clothes. You know? So I hope what I'm going to say rings true to God, because that's the only reason I'm up here, is because of God. God's grace has saved me so many times, they're countless. And the main thing he's saved me is my reputation. You know, because if you go to my hometown and just say my name, you'll probably get cuffed up. You know, because I'm from a small town, and when you're the only bad person in a small town, you're very well known. You know, it's not like this town where you could walk around and there's, you know, a lot of bad people to blend in with. I was the soul, you know, I was it. So I was on the top of the list my whole life. And I thought I could come here, my original plan 4 years ago, that I was going to come here and I was going to turn all the crackheads into meth addicts. That was my plan. And I'm living a lie today. But it's not a lie. It was a lie I used to tell everybody about how I was going to get right with God, how I was going to be a good guy and help people out. And that was a story I told people to get them off my back, you know, to maybe get something out of them. I never knew or dreamed that one day I would be standing in front of all you fine people and telling a story about God and it related to me. You know, I always thought it'd be a story about how he had it in for me and everything was his fault. So it reminds me of the scripture, not sure exactly where it is in the Bible, but it says that he meant it for harm, but God used it for good. So every bad thing I did in my life, every person I hurt, everything I stole, every woman I slept with, all turned me who I am today. And it's right in the back of my mind. You know, I don't dwell on it. That's what I did my whole life. I was about 5 years old and got a new daddy, and he was abusive. And it was the same time I was learning about Jesus Christ. So I didn't get it. You know, my dad was beating on me, and then our Heavenly Father, which I perceived because I was young, didn't understand what Jesus was on that cross for. I did not know why he had to die for us. And I just thought, well, his dad didn't like him that much either, just like my dad didn't like me. So I carried that with me until I was 44. There's been a lot of Donnie, why can't I remember the other dude's name that's always up here? Lyle. Always talks about living in the past. And that's what I did my whole life. I lived in the past, and I used that for an excuse to abuse other people because of my abuse. You know, especially in my family, my mom. I was a pretty horrible person to her. But so I lived my life young and abused, and when my mom left that relationship, we moved to town. And I had no father to beat me, so I had no hold on me. I could do whatever I wanted, whenever I wanted, and I used it to my fullest because I could always throw up the card that my mom let me get beat. You know, it was all her fault. Somehow, it was all her fault. So I used that, and I've been in trouble, I mean, for the stupidest things. I mean, we used to break into houses and just turn the TV on, make a sandwich, take a couple bites out of it, and leave. So people would come home and think, who was in my house? That's kind of insane to me. And we did that all the time, and it was the funnest, we thought. And what it caused them people to come in and think that somebody was in their house, and who was in our house, and where's our safety? And it was just a bunch of punk kids, you know, that had no supervision. You know, my mom was a single parent, so she had to work all the time, and I used that. And I was a farm kid, and farm kids are kind of different than city kids. We drive from the time we're 9 years old. We shoot guns from the time we're 7. So I grew up with a whole different way of life than a lot of people. And since I didn't have any authority figure, I used it and abused it, and I've been in trouble with the law since I was 13 years old, probably. I've been to the Steuben County Jail over 30 times. I've never been in prison, and I don't know how that's possible. Just, I guess, the grace of God. I probably wouldn't make it in prison because I got a big mouth. You know, I mess with people. But God does amazing things with you because he has a plan. He had a plan for my life. From the second he invented time, he knew exactly what I was going to do. And it blows me away because I see God all the time now when I didn't before. You know, I asked him for favors when I was in trouble. And I'm not quite sure if he answered them. I'm sure everybody here has asked God for a favor when they were in trouble and they weren't going to do it again. And I'm going to change my whole life. And I'll never smoke that, and I'll never drink that, and I'll never do this. And you get out of the trouble, and you go right back to it. And that's what I was. I was a repeat offender to God, mostly, which makes me sad at times of all the stuff I do and did, I don't do anymore. When I'm in church, and the message is right for me, it always seems to be right for me, and I bet everybody at church thinks it's right for them. But I cry like a little baby because God's grace and his mercy, he has poured out on me and probably poured out on a lot of you guys. And it overwhelms me when I think of the love that God has for us, and I break down and cry. And I cry in front of a couple hundred people, and I don't really care. You know, because I'm shedding my tears for my king, you know. I'm his slave and I love it. You know, chain me up, you know, as long as it's for the good. And so God is amazing. And I pray to him and he answers them all the time. And he answers them quick sometimes and it's freaky to me. And God told me not to bring nothing. And I wish I could have because the favorite thing, I have one favorite thing. And it's a picture that somebody drew. It's me sitting at the step house, and he drew it in 10 minutes. And there's a cross, and there's beams coming off the cross, and it says Well Street on it. And it's me praying, and it says, Toby will pray for you. And when I look at that picture, I think of what it used to say or what it could say. That Toby will steal from you. Toby will sleep with your girlfriend. Toby will steal your car. Toby will sell you some drugs. But when it says that I'll pray for you, that it just burns me up with the love of Christ, you know, because for somebody else to look at me and to see there's good in me when I've always felt like primal evil. I've always felt like a bad person. I to this day, I still have the thoughts of that I'm not good enough, that I'll never be good enough. And then I think of what God's did in my life and them go away. But it's just thank God that I think about them, because I could go right down a spiral if I don't. I mean, if I go 2 days without praying, I start on that, that I'm not good enough, that I'm not worthy. And God, you know, gave his only son for me and for you and for you and for everybody here, you know. And he loved his son, and he loves us just as much. And it amazes me that that's why he died on that cross, was so we could all join him in heaven, you know, for all of us that believe. And when we get it, you know, when we get it, it's an amazing world, doing good for other people, you know. Standing up here talking to you guys, I was kind of scared when I first got, you know, when I was holding your guys' hands. Somebody said, "Why are you shaking?" Because I got to get up in front of all you guys and tell a story that I don't have wrote down. Well, I guess it's kind of my story, so I shouldn't really have to write it down. But ever since I got with God, and it was because I read Job, which is kind of weird, because Job was always a good guy, and I've never been a good guy, but man, how I wish I was like Job, you know, my whole life of good instead of all the bad and then turning good. But I guess, you know, that's how God shows his power. You know, a good guy, you can't fix too much, but a broken, shattered vessel that I was, that can be born again through his blood and then fill my cup to overflowing, and then I can give it to you guys, it blows me away. And the fact that when I look out here and we were going around the room, I knew 90% of your guys' names, you know. And that's different for me, because normally I wouldn't care about any of your names, you know. I would be too consumed about me and what I was going to do after this. And maybe if I could get something from one of you people, you know. And my life has changed. And I've been here before. I've never stood up and talked. I've stood up and talked once, July 8th. It was the first time I was ever invited to speak, and I was so honored by these guys. I love these guys. These guys started this ministry. They started the first house I was ever in for recovery, which got my life to change. And it was over 2 years ago. August 4th of 2017, I met these guys. And they weren't sure I was right for the program, because I'm high strung and I'm a loud mouth. I'm highly opinionated, and I don't mesh well with a lot of other people. You know, I didn't. I couldn't. It just wasn't in me, you know. I either had to be taking something or just making fun, which I still do a little bit. but I went from there broken, nothing, came in with a backpack with a two pairs of pants and three shirts, one pair of underwear, three pair of socks. And that was it, nothing. Got a Bible that Christmas, even had my name on it, from Blessed Portions Ministry, who got me into that house, they called them. They're a homeless ministry that I serve in, along with the Misfits. And I don't do that because I think that'll get me into heaven. Because, you know, you can't earn your way into heaven. You can only get it one way. And I'm pretty sure I got it. As a matter of fact, I know I got it. I know I'm going to heaven. Because I believe. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that he died on the cross for me to be a knucklehead for 44 years of just straight stupidity and hurt and torment and crimes and countless things, so many things because I was in a drug-induced coma for most of it. I don't even know what I did, you know? But I know it was something because I was all busted up. I had a different car in the driveway, and it had a dent in it. And he died on that cross for me to do that stuff because he knew one day I was going to change my life. And his plan was awesome, you know? I think it's Jeremiah 29:11, for he knows the plans he has for me, and they are not for harm. They're for a future and prosperity. And when I read that the first time, I don't know if I believed it because I still had one left in me. And I had my Bible, and I was going to save everybody. So I went to a meth house, and I started telling them the good news about how Jesus Christ died for our sins and that they should all repent. And I went there alone. I went there not alone because I had Jesus with me, but there was also a pipe in the ashtray. And I kept looking at it, and I kept preaching. And I'd look at it, and I'd preach. And finally, I stopped looking at it, and I picked it up. And it all went downhill from there, once again. And I had my Bible with me, and I thought, does this make me like the biggest hypocrite on earth? That I'm going to have a Bible in my hand and a meth pipe in the other? And I'd rather have a Bible in my hand when I have a meth pipe than nothing else. You know, that's what saved me. That's what brought me back to this town. Every second I was out there, I knew I had to get back. But I was kicked out for 30 days because I think I'm more deserving than another person. I think that I could just call the house and say, hey, I'm going to go get high for 2 days and I'll be back. And they said, hey, you might as well stay out for 30 days, sucker. So I stayed out for 30 days and I tried to get back. And the day I could come back, I came back. And it was on a weekend and there's nobody there on the weekends. And there was somebody there that weekend. And I got back in the program and it was false. The guy thought I was somebody else. He thought I was that nice guy that was really quiet, that didn't bother anybody. And he didn't know me very good because I was not that guy. And when I came back for 10 days, I thought, yeah, I can't do this. When I was out there, I thought that it was my lot in life to die a drug addict's death. I didn't think that I'm not capable of being a good guy. I'm not capable of doing what you think I should do, of acting the way you think I should act. And I don't know why I was worried about impressing somebody else when I had Jesus right behind me, you know? And I didn't have to impress anybody. I can't impress him, you know? He's just waiting for me to turn around and ask him for some help. And after 10 days, I brought up the topic of should I stay or should I go? And 38% of people said that it doesn't matter where I go, that I'm still going to bring me with me. Until I figure out what's wrong with me, I'm no good anywhere. So I really took that to heart, and I thought about it. And the next day when I woke up, I dove into it. Like, I attacked it like I would have attacked for drugs or something I wanted on the outside. And I doubled up and I tripled up. And you wouldn't see me for 6 months without a Bible or the AA big book in my hand. And it was mostly the Bible because the big book's 164 pages that don't really change too much. But the Bible is a never-ending story of God's grace and mercy. It's got everything in it, man. It's got superheroes and supervillains. It's got wickedness. It's got my story. It's the only book that you can read, and when you're reading it, it's telling you it loves you, you know? over and over again. That's all it does, is tell you how loved you are and how everything that he did was for us. You know, we are yet to master what he has for us. You know, this is the only planet with people in his image, which is all of us. We're all God's children. There might be other planets with other beings on them. They're not going to be in his image. They're not going to know his righteousness. They're not going to have the sacrifice he did for us of his only son. I'm sure, I mean, it tells me time and time again that we are clearly his favorites. And once I got into that book, it changed my life in a million different ways. The power of prayer, when you're being good, probably a little bit better than when you're being bad and praying for something, like, get me out of this. When you're walking on the path that God chooses for you, doors open, opportunities that you, because you prayed, you know, and you can see it. And when I went to that house and I was working on myself, and that's what I did, it was my full-time job. I did a little menial part-time jobs just to pay the rent, and I stayed in my Bible. And God provided everything I needed the whole time. I never had to go fill out an application. He didn't want me leaving. He wanted me to stay there and work on myself because I'm going to do something for him someday, like stand in front of this thing and talk to you guys. But he's provided everything, and I paid my rent. And then I could see our house. And anything I say is not me. I didn't do anything. I never did anything. This is all through God and Christ and what they have did in my life. So if I sound like I'm trying to brag upon myself, I am not. Because I am only here because the good Lord chooses to let me be here. And it's a privilege to breathe this air and have my heartbeat every day. But he sent me every job. When my 6 months came, I graduated high school after 45 years of saying, I want to be the dumbest smart guy there is. I don't need no education, you know. I did that, and the next day I graduated the program, and the next day they offered me a job, which was crazy because I had been praying for my house. I live at the 13-step house. And the management was steering it the wrong way. You know how we all think that we know how to run the place better than them? I could see something was wrong, and I started praying about it. And I had 6 months sobriety. And one at a time, well, two at once, and then one, and then one. Everybody got fired or quit or went back out on drugs. And God, in his infinite wisdom and sometimes a sense of humor, said, you asked for it, why don't you try it? So they put me in charge of the 13-step house at 6 months sobriety. And it's only possible through God, because how could a guy with 6 months of sobriety get 40 years of sobriety taken out and him put in place? There's only one dude that can do that, and he's up there, you know, and he makes me laugh when I think about that. I'm like, you're crazy, you know. He said, well, you wanted it, you know, you think you can change it, change it. And because it's not a religious program, but I can air my opinion on religion, and it's Jesus Christ is the only way to go for me. But in a program, it's a God of your understanding, you know, and I only understand one God, and he conforms to nobody, even those who think they're gods. He's the only one. But they put me in charge of the house, and I've been doing it for 5 months, and the courts recognize it as turning around now. People in the house, you know, they give me a hard time, but that's because I do it to them too, because I'm a normal Joe. You know, like I said, I'm not a reverend. I'm not a pastor. I'm definitely not a lawyer. You know, I speak their language. I speak your guys' language. And so it's a little bit more comfortable talking to a guy like me, I guess, when you're coming into a house and you're totally vulnerable and broken, why not get represented by a guy who is totally broken? And I do that. And my reputation has changed. And people send me weird things. Like the other day, somebody sent me an image of a guy reaching down into a lake, pulling somebody out. And they said that reminds them of me. And they barely know me. I had somebody's wife say when I walked across the parking lot that they could feel the good and the Jesus coming out of me from 100 yards away. And it's so much better than having somebody hide their purse from me when I walk their way, you know? And I just thank God for the changes in my life. And it amazes me, and it blows me away. And I don't have much more to say, but since I wasn't supposed to bring anything to this, but I know God has grace, and so I don't know if I broke one of his rules, but I'll ask for forgiveness later. But I wanted somebody to read you guys something because I felt that I was not supposed to do it. So I'm going to have Neil read you guys something out of the Jesus is Calling. If anybody knows what the Jesus is Calling is, it's as if Jesus was talking to you.
Jesus is Calling, June 14th. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Before time began, I knew you. For years, you swam around in a sea of meaningless, searching for love, hoping for hope. All that time, I was pursuing you, aching to embrace you in my compassionate arms. When the time was right, I revealed myself to you. I lifted you out of the sea of despair and set you down on a firm foundation. Sometimes you felt naked, exposed to the revealing light of my presence. I wrapped you in an ermine robe around you, my robe of righteousness. I sang you a love song whose beginning and end are veiled in eternity. I infused meaning into your mind and harmony into your heart. Join me in singing my song. Together we will draw others out of darkness into my marvelous light.
Thank you, Neil. That is probably my favorite reading of all times because it sums up my life and most of our lives that are sitting here. I mean, that sea of meaninglessness was, it's the world, you know. We can't take none of this with us. The only thing we get to take with us is what we did when we're judged by the man upstairs. And I don't know how it works because I haven't been there myself. I've been to hell once in Fryman Square when I took a hit of spice. And it was the craziest thing I've ever seen. I could feel it. I got sucked to hell. The devil's grabbed me. This was me, and the devil grabbed me, and he pulled me to hell. And I could feel every pebble ripping through my body, and it hurt extremely bad. And it was hot. And it was like 93 degrees out that day. And when I came out of this, I fell onto the cement, and it felt like an ice rink. And it's because where I was heading was a lot hotter than 93 degrees because I swear I could see my breath, that it was so cold when I came out of that. And I don't ever want to go there. I mean, I don't even know how far I made it down, but I know I don't want to head that way. And so I'm going to be as good as I can. I'm going to help as many people as I can. And it's not because it's going to get me a spot in heaven. I already got that spot through the blood of Jesus Christ. But it'll just give me something to talk about with Jesus when I get there, you know. Because I'm sure he's going to give us time to ask some questions, you know, or to answer some questions. But I don't want to answer a whole lot. I have a lot to answer for. And most of it isn't good. And if anybody's here and feels that way, and you don't really know the love of Jesus Christ, you should get with somebody who does, and they could give you the salvation prayer, and you could save yourself, because he saved you first. And that's about all I got, and it's a little early.
I got a couple questions in mind.
You have some questions.
Maybe other people have questions too. But one of them was, you talked about your background and where you came from and where you were kind of mired in, and then there was a change. What triggered the change? What was the process like? What was it? Was it instantaneous? Was it lengthy?
It was not instantaneous. I started, because Blessed Portions got me into the house that they created. I felt obligated to give them something back. And I started feeding the homeless. And I started doing God's work. And slowly over time, it wasn't an obligation. It was awesome. I looked forward to Friday, like chomping at the bit, like my dealer was about to show up, and my dealer was God, and it was awesome. And I loved going out there, and it didn't matter how cold it was. It didn't matter if I was tripping over stones going under bridges. It didn't matter. I loved it. And then that's when God started talking to me. And he doesn't, sometimes it's audible. I don't want you to think I'm schizophrenic, but God talks to people. He shows you. I see it every day. The other day, I said, "Hey, what do you want to get to eat?" I think I said it to him. And my phone rang. And Donnie Foster says, "Hey, I'm bringing over tacos." I said, "It looks like we're eating tacos, buddy." And the next day, I said, "Man, we need to get some towels. We're almost out of towels." Mike once again comes in the house. He's like, "Oh, Lainey's here. She just donated a bunch of towels." And that probably didn't answer your question very good. But once I started actually serving him and liking it, that he's clear to me. He is so clear that I wake up with notions of exactly what I'm supposed to do for the day. I woke up and I knew I was supposed to get a hold of somebody I haven't talked to in 15 years. And I Facebooked and I found him and a friend requested him. And I don't use Facebook. I just made it for my kids to get a hold of me. And I friended him. And then he friended me and I called him on Messenger. And I said, "God told me to call you." And I said, "Whatever you're doing," I said, "go to the bathroom and sit on the toilet, because you're about to crap yourself." And he said, "You know me, Toby. I'm always ready to crap myself." So I told him. And he always wanted me to get right with God. You know, and I used to tell him not to get that voodoo crap on me. You know, keep that Bible away. I don't need that. And so I knew he would love to hear it. And I said, God told me something was going to happen in his life. And I told him what was going to happen. And I told him about the sacrifice God did for us and his great love. And he says he already knows that, but he's fallen away from it. And I said, "You're about to come to a storm. Something's going to happen in your life. And I'm now in a position that I can help you," which is, to me, crazy. Because we used to cook methamphetamines together, and I haven't talked to him for 15 years, and I knew exactly what I was supposed to say to him. And I don't know exactly what I said to him. But the next day he called me, and he was walking really brisk. And I said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "This is crazy, man." He said, "You called me not only 24 hours ago, and I'm going to turn myself into jail because a warrant just popped up for my arrest. And this guy does not turn himself into jail. He's tried to get me. I'm going to run to the end of the earth." And he was running for jail because God had some dude call him up the day before and tell him an event was going to happen in his life and that I would be there to be able to assist him with God's power, because now I run a halfway house and I can let him in and I can give him hope of sobriety and of a new life of helping God, which was what he always wanted me to do when we're sitting in jail. And And to be sitting in jail and to be out in the real world is two totally different things. You know, so he turned himself into jail. And I got it in the works for him. And Steuben County does not have an agreement with Allen County. And I have been in the Steuben County jail 30 times. And they're going to release him into my custody, which is totally insane. If you knew me, but you guys know me now, and they've seen me now. I went there and I gave them all the paperwork, and I gave them all the information on the step house, and I told them how my life has changed since I left there, and they believe in me. They see something in me, maybe like his wife from across the parking lot. Maybe they see some Jesus, and it's not just the hair. You know, it's something. I hope I'm reflecting him. I hope everybody sees me. That's why I invite Jesus in. I tell him to come into every fiber of my being. I want to be a sponge. And I want to be wrung and then just soaked up, soak him all up. Like I said the last time I spoke, right to my fingertips. And then I'm going to try to sprinkle him on all you guys. And hopefully he'll soak into you. And then we can all hang out in heaven someday, you know? Any more questions?